Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now on to episode 173.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, this episode is brought to you by ShopPad, one of the most respected Shopify partners building apps and solutions for over 400,000 merchants around the world. And their flagship product is called Mesa. Now, Mesa is an automation platform and the easiest way to integrate any e-commerce app with your online store. And it's the only automation platform designed exclusively for Shopify and Shopify Plus powered brands. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks, freeing up valuable time to focus on scaling your business operations. Now, they have a no-code workflow builder that allows anyone to create automation through a simple point-and-click interface. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, if workflow automation is new to you, don't worry. Mesa also has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa for free at absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GetMesa.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, you're definitely in the right place today. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. There's some 170-some episodes that are available. You can stream them directly from ecommercefastlane.com. There's lots of offers and different types of audits and things available, too, on each of those landing pages. So go check that out. Now, in today's episode, I'm excited to have my guest, Sharon Goldstein, who is the CEO of a company called LimeSpot. And they're an AI-driven personalization platform that's helping Shopify merchants to create very, very targeted and incredible user experiences that drive engagement, retention, conversions, and sales. All important metrics that we're just all dying to get. We're all trying to find the right technology to do that sort of thing. LimeSpot does all of that. I've had them on, probably almost 2 years ago, prior to Sharon coming on board as CEO. And I know the platform has iterated so much in the last 2 years that it's necessary to have them on annually now because there's so much going on in this space. And I want to make sure that we tell the whole story that we're now a suite of tools that go along with the platform now. So hi, Sharon. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
So I may have butchered it a little bit at the top of the show, but I always like to hear it, you know, from the CEO or the founder's perspective about the problems, more on a high level first. Like, those that don't know what the LimeSpot, you know, a suite of tools are, the application, the platform, however you want to, whatever the narrative is around it, I'm sure you'll help me get the right language. But let's talk about, on a high level first, about the problems that it's solving for Shopify store owners.
It is an exciting time to be in retail. And it's an exciting time to be a Shopify brand and to go direct to consumer. And what our, I'm just going to start one level up at vision. Our vision is to help Shopify brands and merchants be successful, be as profitable as they can be, and delight their customers in the process. And so what we have is a powerful merchandising suite of products that is meant to bring, I like to think of it as an Amazon caliber AI to retailers of all sizes in order to drive targeted, differentiated experiences that are on the same level as the largest brands in the world. And specifically, our products are meant to personalize experiences, both product and site experiences, so that customers can find the right product, feel known in their journey ultimately, and ultimately buy and return. And so from that perspective, you know, what we bring to those retailers is the ability to increase sales, which everybody wants, increase AOV, drive repeat, you know, traffic, as well as through one of our products, even reduce the cost of acquisition to that process. And more tactically, so our suite now encompasses four things. I know you've known about, and when you spoke to IDEAN, it was the recommendations platform, right? Which is across the site and is the broadest, richest offering in the market. We also now have a full site personalization product, an email personalization product for both visuals and recommendations, as well as a Google Shopping ad optimization product, which is the one that helps drive that higher return on ad spend.
Wow, a lot of stuff's been going on, because you're right. I do remember chatting about that whole, like, the, you know, just the upsells and the cross sells and having certain widgets and things, and just understanding the customer's journey throughout the website and making sure that you're kind of showing the right products to the right person at the right time based on their click habits, based on their buying behavior. There's lots of different things. We were interacting with the website. There's lots of neat things going on in the background to really give, you know, like, imagine, here's like a perfect example. Like, imagine if you're a cat person and you've previously bought cat products on a branded website, like a pet site, and then all of a sudden all you're really showing is emails or on-page things that are very dog friendly. It's quite a disconnect. But whereas your platform kind of really tries to understand, first of all, the unknown buyer journey, so the unknown customer, but then once they're a known customer, wow, things start really opening up as far as, well, now we understand, you know, their history, we understand where they're going on the website, how frequently they come back, their monetary value. We can start really planning some things around. So it's great to see you have a lot of different modules, and I'm excited to dig into some of these and kind of how they can best interact with a brand, because I think a lot of people, unfortunately, from my perspective, are using a lot of separate apps, and there's a little bit of duct tape going on, so to speak, and you always wonder if all of these other tools, which maybe on their own are important strategy or an important tactic to have, sometimes you always wonder if they're all talking and playing nice with each other and working most effectively, and I think the answer is probably no. Versus having a platform like yours that does a lot and really helps the marketer. So I really appreciate that. So let's dig into the founder's journey, because I think it's always fascinating. I think, you know, for myself and for the listeners, like, why people build what they build. I just would love to understand. You can tell the story. I mean, you're telling it kind of in the third person, but the founding team really does have a unique position, and they have a certain amount of desire and expertise to create this platform. And it'd be great if you could kind of share that story with us today, just to understand the journey the platform and the people have been on to build where we are today, and then now your role in the company as it kind of moves forward.
Yeah, so the company was started by three technical founders, Aideen, Majid, and Asan, who are all still thankfully building away inside the organization. And they came in with deep technical experience. Two of them had built a company together before, a successful company, and they had been looking at the e-commerce experience. This was 8 years ago, and they really disliked what they found. Like, the discovery experience was really painful. And every time they looked at a site, they were like, we can do this better. And they, you know, started ideating on what they could do. And that was basically how LimeSpot was started. Across us, we have collectively actually 25 plus years of e-commerce experience. And that team has deep AI expertise. And I came on 2 years ago after getting to know the team and the technology to see how we could accelerate the benefits, which I like to think of as printing money for retailers, accelerate those benefits and get them to more people. And I had come in from being at Amazon. I've been on both the B2B side and on the B2C side, and saw this opportunity to take something powerful and put it in the hands of this broader set of retailers and really democratize, you know, the e-commerce experience versus having it all shift over to marketplaces.
And what's great too about having LimeSpot, you know, I should say, first of all, being a Shopify Plus technology partner, and there's quite a few hoops to go through to be able to have the scalability and the reliability and the privacy and the thought of all the pieces of the puzzle to become a Shopify Plus technology partner. So kudos to you and the team to kind of get to that level, because that just shows that you have the ability to handle the biggest, baddest brands in the world, even though, and you can, and you service them, but you also can deal with kind of the mid-market and SMB market also. You know, there's 1.7 million, as of today's recording, 1.7 million Shopify brands that are having their stores powered by Shopify. So the size of market is quite large. What's interesting though, what I find is that a lot of people are not using technology like yours today. They're kind of unfortunately relying on the theme or the premium theme they have, and they have some very rudimentary or basic kind of previously viewed and some basic kind of things going on, potentially only running some basic email marketing, haven't dabbled in SMS yet, aren't doing any personalization in email. There's a lot of things that people are not doing very well, but they're getting sales. So they have other things going for them. Can you imagine what it would be like when all of a sudden they turn on LimeSpot as part of their overall brand and then get these customer journeys organized, so you're, you know, you're doing this one-to-one marketing. So I think it's a very interesting time to be alive right now. It's, and the technology is there, and I think that's why we have today's recording. So I want to make sure people get it, and it's time to stop just using some of the default things that are built into templates and themes, and it's time to think about how technology can really make the difference. One thing that I noticed with these personalization tools, because I, like I said, I have lots of conversations with brands, is I'm finding that they, you know, at a time, I'd say a few years back, they were a little bit of expensive, and I would say out of reach for a lot of these kind of, I'd call them non-enterprise brands. I mean, I deal on the Shopify Plus side, kind of in the mid-market enterprise, but the bulk of Shopify's customers, the 1.7 million, are on the what I'm going to call the Shopify core brands. They could, you know, just be early stage. Some could be doing millions of dollars, but they are an early part of the market. But I also think that the market of competitors is really starting to grow a bit, just because, you know, technology companies are thinking, hey, there's opportunity here. Instead of these default things that are built into themes, what else can we do to understand the customer journey? And I think even the Shopify ecosystem has really evolved. So from your perspective, you've been a couple of years now in this role, at least from the LimeSpot side, and then many years on the Amazon side. Like, how has the landscape evolved a bit over the last few years? And then, you know, maybe on a follow-up question is like, how is LimeSpot able to grow its customer base now, you know, with these digitally native brands?
As far as, you know, how the market's been evolving, you talked about the size of customers, you talked about the evolution of the market, but you also talked about a little bit about, you know, these baseline entry-level items, things like themes, you know, having a recently viewed and a theme. Let me see if I can go after the different pieces. I think at least looking at the evolution of the market, I would say that, you know, we're seeing this interesting dynamic. You still have at the lowest in the non-enterprise space, and I'm going to use that phrase. I think you're using it similarly, where the cut line is, you know, Shopify Plus versus non-Shopify Plus, right? So, or I don't know if you're putting that line further up. The way we look at this is customers expect there to be personalization, right? So I would just call that table stakes. And that has changed both what the market looks like and what the customer expectations are, right? So if customers are expecting this, our goal is to make it available to those smaller customers, as well as more sophisticated for the larger customers. There is this situation that's happened over time. You know, I would call it that, I would say that our market has gotten noisy, right? And I think this is what you're referring to, which is, you know, people are like, oh, I have this thing in my theme, or I have this thing over here. But I like to say that all recommendations are not the same, and the data proves it, right? What a retailer should think about is, hey, this is an important piece of real estate on my website. And the caliber of those recommendations makes a difference both to whether the customer buys and to the bottom line. And I could drop a box in and be like, yep, I've got this feature on my website, but what is the quality of what I'm getting behind it, right? So where we really come in is, you know, we are co-op of information. We have taught our system across all of our almost 10,000 stores, and that information makes the caliber of those recommendations stronger than other places. So this is where, you know, not every box is the same and it makes a big difference, right? So I would say that that is why we are still the market leader. That is why we're still able to close. We also have continued to innovate even in our in the product recommendation area where we've brought out new types of boxes like recently purchased. We now have a functionality that integrates with our segmented experiences where you can put different collections in front of different consumers based on what their behavior is and what we know about them, right? So you can combine this full site personalization with the product, so the recommendation. So there's lots of reasons to spend towards a higher quality platform because you are going to get a higher ROI, right? So I think people are short-sighted when they look at it differently. The last thing I would say, Steve, is that, you know, product recommendations are really this entry point to personalization. It is about saying, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put product recommendations on the site. Then I'm going to say, how can I level up that experience so that you, Steve, and I have very different shopping experiences that make us feel known and make us want to return to that website?
No, I love it. That's, yeah, well articulated. And I think that's, I guess the main point that I want to get across is that, yes, there are competitors out there that are in the space right now, but I also feel that, and even themes that are out there that are doing some things, but people and customers are demanding to have more personalized experiences. And it's much more than just the on-page component. It's the overall. And I think we'll talk about some of the ways that your platform can help with acquisition, help with the email personalization, or, you know, I'm sure there's an SMS component that's available or coming down the pipe. Like there's lots of interesting ways of interacting with your customers in a personalized one-on-one manner. And so I think that's like super exciting. And I think that's what's really going to be helpful to kind of move the needle for a lot of brands. I'm going to pivot a bit over to a few things that are on my mind right now and are on the minds of a lot of people. And it's around privacy. I believe that there is a lot of things going on right now. And I think people realize the benefits of having personalization, like at least from a merchant perspective, and customers also like it too. But if you think about some of this privacy issues that are happening right now, the GDPR, this general privacy regulation thing going on in the European Union, CCPA, the California Consumer Privacy Act, it's, you know, it's the first law in the United States of its kind to really talk about, you know, how businesses interact with personal information and how they use it and how they're open and transparent. Recently, iOS 14.5 update has come through, this app tracking transparency thing. And so this is having a lot of interesting impacts now on advertising and just on page. You see most websites now have, do you accept cookies or not? And can we track you or not? And it's worrying a lot of people. Am I able to still advertise if I don't know the journey of the customer? And then on the flip side, though, what happens to my acquisition costs? And then how else do I maintain my customers? How do I build lifetime value? So let's talk a little bit about this kind of app tracking and this potential cookie-less future that's kind of out there. Like, how do you believe that this is affecting personalization as far as, you know, the LimeSpot platform? Like, how do we achieve the right balance, I guess, so to speak, I guess is a better question, between, I guess, the consumer's demand for privacy, case in point, GDPR, CCPA, iOS updates and stuff. But then there's the value of personalization on a Shopify store. It's kind of like there's two sides of the coin here.
So first of all, I think it's incredibly important that we all treat privacy as something sacred to consumers, right? And that we don't overstep a lot of the relationship. Much of the relationship between a retailer and a consumer is about trust. And if you don't take good care of their data, then you can't build that trust or you'll lose that trust. I don't see these as two sides of the coin, privacy and personalization, at least not in the LimeSpot world. I think you can do both of them. First of all, we look at it, we use 100% first party data, and that allows us to be using data that was via the terms of the site's TOS. It is data that is ensured not to have crossed the lines. It is managed as non-PII in the way that it is tracked, so it is GDPR compliant. And so our goal is to really make it so that a retailer can have data and be able to provide a personalized experience without having to step over that line. And we also use a different kind of cookieing functionality than the technologies that are used in the browsers. And so we don't aren't impacted by a lot of the changes that we're seeing over there as well. But I think at a broader level, the right balance is, you know, have the customer give you permission for what you can share, right? And make sure that that is in alignment. Let them know what you are doing with their data, and then leverage the data to the extent that it can help you with personalization. And in our world, we are able to, in that GDPR, CCPA compliant way, combine information about products, combine non-PII information about people, history information, and behavior information, and tie that data together so that you can make recommendations starting from the moment someone is clicking on the site. But we know things including, you know, for example, if you come, we've never seen you before and you come, we still know like where you are from a location perspective that could help us figure out, you know, what do you put in that first experience. As soon as we start to see you do things on the site, we know through market insights what you are likely to have based on, you know, what I like to call a micro persona of people who, you know, have other anonymous users who act like you. And so there are ways to, you know, wear the white hat of personalization and provide these incredible experiences and not have to look at this as a trade-off.
It's pretty interesting, Lynette, when and just thinking as you're talking here, like the unknown site visitor coming to the website, certainly for the first time, but there's been people prior to them and people who are coming after them that are doing potentially very similar things. They could have come in on an ad and go to this product page, and then from there, like, okay, I know you're on that product page. Others have been on that product page. We showed this. They also clicked there. Oh, and they end up buying this. That's interesting to me to know the unknown buyer history. And eventually they become known, but that's still part of the algorithm of, I don't know who you are. You did all these things on the website through paid ads or organic or word of mouth, however you got at the website, and you've done certain actions on the website, whatever that action is, eventually to a conversion, hopefully. But let's say mostly no, but at least you got to see the customer's journey. But then you're going to obviously fine tune the algorithm more. So, well, we need to show things and position people in the right area, show things and just do the right personalization things for all customers moving forward, because we're trying to get to the end goal of getting a conversion. And so that's very compelling. It's a very interesting way of looking at it. Been in this business a long time, and I've always wondered about how you go from PII, so person identifiable, to non-PII. How do you balance those? And so it sounds like you've got, you know, a very GDPR compliant solution. You're definitely getting the proper opt-ins, but you're also just being very mindful about how you're using that data so to show the right products at the right time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say one more thing there. So I think this opportunity to have this great logged out experience on site is something that is not across like what we see in the marketplace right now. And since so many customers wait until they're ready to check out to log in, I think that's critical for the market. The second is there are ways to, in a GDPR compliant way, to tie the data together of what kind of buying has happened with what kind of, you know, behavior is happening on the site. That also allows you to pull that component into it. But I think anyone who's not looking at that, they're really, and if you're only learning off what's happening on your website, right? If the data, I'm going to talk about AI for a minute. When I think about AI and I do sessions on intros to AI sessions, you know, one of the things you have to think about is what's your data set, and therefore like, what's it teaching your system, right? And the higher the caliber of the data set, the better your results are going to be. And so this is a place where you want to make sure that your system is learning every time it, to your example, successfully puts something in front of a consumer or it doesn't, right? And that feedback is always happening so that it's getting optimized.
So let's talk about the vetting process, because I think that's one of my roles in Shopify also, is to kind of help and make some warm introductions to some technology partners to solve some problems. Like we kind of do some discovery and we figure a few things out. But, you know, I think typically what I see is that, you know, brands really want assurances that maybe a potential new piece of technology like LimeSpot, is it playing nice with other pieces of marketing technology that they already have? And so I would just love to hear from your side about, well, how does LimeSpot address this need of the modern merchant to say, hey, I have these pieces of tech. Yes, I'm interested in kind of getting your solution and your platform on board, but what's the end result based on my existing pieces of technology?
I mean, it's critical that we all play well together so that merchants don't have to spend a lot of time on that component. From an integration perspective, I cannot think of a platform that we have a challenge working with who is in an adjacent space. Whenever a customer asks us for a new integration, we go off and immediately see how easy it is. I can't guarantee we always do it, but we'll at least make sure that we can cohabitate with someone if there's not a deep integration. And so for us, you know, the places that we've really looked to have that seamless experience is, you know, email service providers and loyalty and subscription programs in mobile apps. I mean, we have an API. So if, you know, if there is another service provider who wants to integrate with us, that's easy to do, and we're willing to support them. For the retailers themselves, I think this is incredibly important. We've been seeing as people go from, you know, self-serve to mid-market to enterprise, and we, you know, in the last several years have moved upstream and are heavily in the mid-market space. We have seen that retailers really need less applications. They need those applications to do more and to work better with others. From a vetting process, like most companies, we have a page that has all the integrations. You can reach out, but we don't typically have any work that needs to get done up front in order for that brand to be able to have us work with everything they want.
Perfect. I know I'm looking at the list right now, and you're right. All the major players that you would think of, from Loyalty Line and Yapo and the Smiles and the Klaviyos of the world and OmniSends, Dot Digitals, these are all Privy. I'm just looking at some of the other ones here. There's some pretty significant ones. Okendo, Shogun, and Pagefly for page builders. And Malomo is doing a great thing with post-purchase experience and return management and things like that. So it's pretty neat. And all the subscription options too with Recharge. These are all like important pieces of technology. So I feel you can be very confident that if you're making the LimeSpot choice, that, you know, there's already direct connections with these partners, which is the bulk of probably your tech stack. But I totally agree with you, Sharon, about the fact that it probably makes sense to do an app audit every once in a while and just try to understand, you know, is there value in this particular piece of technology? Should it be my admin? Because once again, it has a certain amount of code that goes along with it. And, you know, with more code, slows your website down. Then we're going to get into like Google's core metrics and other different speed challenges. And then SEO kind of sits into the equation here. And so end of the day, the less apps, the better. However, there's certain things that need, you know, Shopify does 80% of commerce very well. It's the other 20% that gets filled in. LimeSpot is being one of those partners, and then a few other pieces of the puzzle that Shopify is choosing to not build. And so knowing that, that's what makes the Shopify ecosystem run so smoothly, is because there's technology like you and other partners that also solve very unique problems. So I think that's very notable.
Thanks. I'd love to add one thing before you move on that, which is one of our newest integrations is with Recharge. We are seeing, and you, I'd love to hear if you're seeing the same. We're seeing more and more retailers move to having a subscription model on their system, and the ability to make recommendations of subscriptions is something that we're seeing a lot in the industry. And so we're really excited to be able to support those use cases for customers.
Yeah, I definitely subscriptions, just the whole recurring revenue, you know, waking up at the first of the month, every month, and kind of knowing you can anticipate revenue, knowing what your subscriber base is. It's just churn avoidance is the key. Is understanding all that. But I do have a ton of conversations about, hey, I sell socks, but I want to get into subscription sock business because I, you know, socks wear out. I have people even in the supplement market, or I have a couple people even in the sports nutrition kind of protein market that are not in subscription yet. And I'm just like, okay, the opportunity cost right now of not being a subscription, give them a small discount, you know, subscribe and save kind of opportunity. It's very, very compelling of the lifetime value you can get by offering a small little discount or incentive or some kind of promotional thing going along with a subscription offering. Recharge is a major player for sure. Order Groove is doing its thing also. And I believe Bold Commerce also has a kind of a tight connection with our new subscription APIs that are available. I'd also add that post-purchase upsells and cross-sells are something that's been very compelling, either dedicated apps, or I'm sure that, you know, either it's on your roadmap now or a feature that's available. I think it's very interesting to be able to, how do we get someone to add on another little larger version or two of them, or offer some kind of incentive on more of a post-purchase experience. And so there's lots of things going on right now.
Yeah. And as far as the upsell, cross-sell, that has been a core piece of our platform from the beginning. And as we pull it through all the way through the journey. So that happens, you know, if you're a Shopify Plus, that can happen. You know, you've got the in-card integration, you've got the upsell anywhere along the way. We've got the post-purchase. We've also got integration to post-purchase emails. So now you've got this opportunity to have in your thank you email, not just, you know, thank you so much for buying, but here are related items, or you could choose to say, you know, you may also like, or show it in another color or category. So we see strong return on that experience as well, because then you're taking it beyond that session into a broader conversation with the consumer.
So let's dig into a story. I think people love to hear stories about other brands, like aspirational stories about, you know, once again, a certain brand making a decision to use a platform. And so hopefully you can share one today, just something more specific, a customer story around why they made the decision to go with LimeSpot, and kind of the before and the after of, you know, getting involved with your platform. Because I think once people kind of understand that, you know, that there are real people, like you said, there's over 10,000, there's lots of merchants that have made the LimeSpot choice. It's not necessarily a pitch fest today, but let's talk about a real story about like what happened and why LimeSpot was the answer to their challenges.
Maybe I will spend a little time talking about Easy Peasy. So Easy Peasy is a all women run brand. It was started by mom who was dealing with the fact that plates and basically things that were getting put on the high chair were getting knocked off by her three young children. And she started, you know, so a traditional Shopify story, she started making some products. She got herself out into the market. She had this great opportunity to show up on Shark Tank and actually turned down an investment opportunity and was getting a lot of exposure. But she was really trying to figure out how to do a couple different things, how to create a buying experience that mapped to the mentality of a busy mom. And so she wanted to make it super easy to buy through the site, find the related products, shop only by color, basically get herself away where a customer could come in and go, click, 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 I'm done, convert, and I now own the products. So when she came to us, when her team came to us, that was much of what they were looking for. They were like, we want to put those products in front of consumers. We want to get the full sets in front of them. And we want to make it easy. We want to make it easy for our customers the way we want people to make it easy for us. So that is really where we saw this opportunity to partner with her. The second thing that she really wanted to do and what we've been able to help her showcase is products that are not on other channels. So, you know, a lot of our Shopify merchants, I mean, you see this, are multi-channel, whether that's e-commerce and they sell in other places or whether that's, you know, omni-channel and they're in-store. And this opportunity to really highlight in front of consumers new products they might like based on what they had bought from the past that were things that they could not find in other places and really drive those custom solutions. They have continued to grow. I highly recommend actually checking them out if you ever need gifts for friends with kids. Without going into pitch world, I love their products. And the result that we've been able to provide them is we now account for nearly 18% of the net sales on their website. And we've driven both AOV and conversion for them versus organic product views. So there's a strong ROI for them. I don't want to put out, you know, all their stats, but there's a strong ROI for them. And they're also a great brand. And from a, you know, just a personal perspective, being involved in this ecosystem, that opportunity to help entrepreneurs grow into significant businesses, right? So wherever you are on that scale is just something that we see as art. Like that's the definition of success for the LimeSpot organization.
Very cool. Yeah, it's easypeasyfun.com. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. And it looks like they're even involved now in the pet side. So there's Ono Friends, onofriends.com. Looks like a sub-brand that they have available with this similar kind of concepts, but now for your pets, so them flipping over the bowls and water and food. So pretty neat. So thank you for sharing that. And thanks for that story. Because it's nice. It's just nice to know that there is some significant lift that's available by people using the LimeSpot solution. And you don't know until you test it. And so hopefully that's what today's podcast is all about. There's a compelling reason customers want personalization, and there's technology out there to do it. And so LimeSpot is part of that. So I'm going to pivot a bit over about the people that are listening, because I mentioned before there's like 1.7 million Shopify brands that are on the network right now. And, you know, they run the gamut from early stage all the way through to billion-dollar companies. And so if you were to give a little bit of advice, I know it's kind of a wide range, but I'm sure there's some high-level concepts and ideas that you can kind of share today, because, you know, you have over 10,000 customers, them being with the Amazon group for quite a while. You know what great looks like from a, you know, digitally native kind of direct-to-consumer brand. So just would love you to share any advice you have for those listening today. These people are eager to grow and scale. That's why they're listening today. Hopefully LimeSpot can help them with that. Is there anything else that you can think of that might be impactful to help them?
There are a few things that I think are important to keep in mind these days. The first one is the value of technology is that you can do the same things that the big brands do, or as a big brand, you can do it even at a higher volume. Does not have to be hard and take a ton of effort. Think about, you know, are there technologies out there that can make your life easier, not just more complex, to get more granularity. And so that's where I think, you know, AI really shines in, you know, and our technology is set, you know, sort of is in a set it and forget it mode, where you've got as much granularity as you want, but you also can put it in place and get the benefit and not have to be in there or have a body always tinkering with things. So definitely look for technologies that will help you scale. In our world, I like to think of entering things at the crawl, walk, run, right? So come in and use the technology. The level of sophistication that your business and your team is at that time, and start getting that value early. Personalization is table stakes in today's market, and consumers expect this. So you don't want to say, I'm going to wait till I'm larger to look at this technology. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't do that. The second thing I would say is that a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that personalization and product recommendations are the same thing, and they're not. Personalization is really, you know, anything the customer can see has the ability to be personalized, right? You want to think about it on two dimensions. I would say dimension one is think about it as, okay, beyond product recommendations. We didn't talk much about, you know, our on-site personalization, but this is something we're bringing to the mid-market and below, because that opportunity to have different segmented experiences is, you know, not available in that piece of the market right now. That is, you know, sort of in the next piece of that crawl, walk, run. I absolutely recommend that people start looking at that piece. You should also be thinking about things beyond just the site, right? So personalization could, obviously, email conversion, we talked about that a little bit, but also bringing that personalization all the way through to your advertising and through to the experience that comes from advertising back onto your website. You know, when somebody says, what do you think you should do in this space? How do I think about scaling? I'm like, don't wait to get started. As I mentioned, you know, personalization, good personalization will print money for you. Get in at the level you can. Make sure the technology can support you without, you know, becoming a full-time job for you. And then keep building on that and find somebody that you can do the crawl, walk, run with.
That's awesome advice. And I concur with a lot of that, because that really does make sense. Because I think it always comes to the paralysis analysis kind of thing, where people are looking at things and they're just, yeah, I know I got to do it, but they just don't do it. And so hopefully you get something out of it today that, you know, you have to crawl first before you can walk. So if it's a small piece, turn on, like download, we'll give you some links in a minute, but download the LimeSpot app, get it installed on your store and start seeing some of the things that it can do. It's so interesting. Even getting a 14-day free trial store and importing your products and just seeing what can happen. It's so interesting that you have this technology available. And I'm hoping that this casts a wider net for those listening today, that there is a way of personalizing your website. I just love when you said personalization is not product recommendations. And I like that. I'm going to make sure that goes in the show notes, because that's super important. I even forget sometimes that those two are different. And so I have been watching, as I mentioned, I've been watching LimeSpot a little bit over the last few years. And I wonder if you could kind of share just how the product is just going to continue to iterate, because you have these four or five different kind of main components now of the platform. Prior to that, it was really just on page kind of things. Now there's so many more pieces of the puzzle now that are necessary. And so I'm just curious kind of like where the future is, I guess, for the remainder of 21. But, you know, is there any innovation or partner alignment? Just end of the day, it's just nice to be able to share with the audience today. Like how is LimeSpot? I can see where you are today, but you know, where are you going to be a year or two from now? And like, how does that assist a brand if they make the choice to work with you?
You know, just to close the loop from the beginning of the conversation, right? Our goal is really to democratize e-commerce and give retailers this ability to increase not just top line, but profitability. And one of the things that we see a lot in merchandising and marketing technology is that the numbers that people look at are those top line sales, right? And so we are, and I'm going to leave this one intentionally vague, but we are looking at ways to bring that margin level data through to merchandising decisions, as opposed to just looking at, you know, top line data, to allow retailers to decide what products to put in front of what consumers. More broadly, though, I would say, you know, there's three areas that we're really spending our time on. One is continuing to integrate deeply with third parties to create a seamless experience for anyone who is using our platform in the Shopify ecosystem. The second one is to build out everything that stores need to create a more personalized experience easily and effectively. And that's beyond the site, right? So we talked a little bit about email. We talked about Google Shopping being a first area for us. And then the third area is an expansion into areas of discounting and the ability to help brands figure out what kind of promotions to put in front of what types of consumers, which we think will be very exciting in that next level of information. And finally, and this is why I said there's a four, finally, continuing to expose the learnings that we have into actionable insights for brands. And this is an interesting, you know, double-edged sword for brands, because you want insights, but you can easily be overwhelmed in information. And especially in a world where we've got so much data, really working with some of our existing retailers to figure out, or existing merchants to figure out, what information is useful and actionable so that you can make key business decisions, not just personalization decisions, off of the knowledge that we have around your customer base.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Just nice to know the future, kind of where it's headed. I know it's a very compelling solution today, but it's nice to know where it's headed in the future. So where can people learn more about LimeSpot? Where can they go, and what sort of resources do you have available?
Well, they can always find us on our website, limespot.com, and in the App Store. And I would definitely recommend that people are interested, go to our case studies page, you know, /case-studies, to go see how other brands are growing and thriving with LimeSpot technology, as well as to our blog, to thought leadership articles. And if you have any interest at all in learning more, please go to our site and request a demo. We'll talk a minute about the custom site we have for our time with Steve. Definitely reach out to learn more. We'd be happy to help you understand how this can help you.
And I know we spoke offline today before recording, and I understand that you would like to share. There's actually a couple different offers depending on the maturity or the complexity of the brand that's listening today. So are you able to share some of the details of these two offers?
Sure. We have two different offers in the marketplace. One is a growth offer. That's the one that is self-serve in the App Store. For those customers, we have a 3 months off the base price free. And that gives you up to 10,000 box impressions per month for 3 consecutive months. On the premium side, which is our enterprise, our mid-market enterprise offering, customers who have heard this and become customers will get 10% off their first year. So for either of those, they just need to mention Fastlane when they request a demo, or in the self-serve, just message in the chat app that Fastlane, and we will apply the discount.
What I'll do too is I'll have a link in the show notes. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/LimeSpot. That's going to redirect to a landing page that one of your team members has been kind enough to put together. So we'll have the details of both of those offers in there. The growth offer for like kind of early stage, just get under the hood and try it out. I think there's some opportunity even on the plus side for those people just to add the growth offer deal into their sandbox instance anyways, and see what it does, skinning it up the way that you hope it was going to work. And then from there, you have an account. Then from there, migrate you over to the full solution if you're ready to pull the trigger for an annual contract. And thanks for that discount. It's much appreciated. And so I just wanted to thank you, once again for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it, and you know this, but Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. And, it's clear that, you and the LimeSpot team really are in tight alignment with wanting to help Shopify brands to, create amazing shopping experiences is kind of like your main mantra here. But I'd also add things like improving maybe engagement or retention, and we talk about sales, like revenue numbers, and it's all really thanks to a lot of your AI and the personalization engine that you have that's powering the solution. I'm really, really thankful that this platform is available, that you really are democratizing it now. So this enterprise level kind of technology is available to the mid-market, to entry levels, SMBs. I think it's really exciting. So thanks again for coming on the show and your vision, and just end of the day, just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Steve.
All right, have yourself a great day. Today's episode was made possible by Mesa, the easiest way to integrate any Shopify app with your online store. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks and free up valuable time to focus on growing and scaling your business operations. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, Mesa has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any growing business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa today for free, absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GETMESA.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.